Open your Bibles, Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. Is it hard to believe? It's hard to believe for me that we're in Romans chapter 10, finishing Romans chapter 10, about to enter Romans 11. We're going to read these last five verses of this chapter. Well, let's just start at verse 15. That would be six verses. Verse 15 is so good. It's just really lays out the plight of the lost and the need for us to proclaim the truth. And let's read verse 15. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I've been listening to this. Some of you have Evidence Not Seen. It's a book. So some of you have read that. Missionaries to Papua New Guinea. And have you read that book? And so you probably could write it. And so one of the I forget what her name is. I should know her name by now in the book. But her husband was traveling inland to go to some of the inland tribes. And his feet got so cut up, and I forget what the disease was he had in his feet. And this verse was used for that. I mean, the wife had to peel off a layer of skin every morning to allow the pus and the infection to ooze out. And that went on for a period of months till he recovered. And finally, one of the spiritual leaders of the camp came in and he saw the feet, and he thought of this verse: "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." And those were terrible feet, disfigured, cut, infected, but beautiful feet with the gospel. Let's begin at verse 15, Romans chapter 10, verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." The title of the message tonight is "Nothing Has Changed." What I mean by that, you know, Romans 10 is a chapter that we use in witnessing to the lost, particularly Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we use that, I think, use it appropriately. And the reality is this, is we've got to have stamina, we've got to have a focus, we must have an understanding. Matthew 7 says, wide is the path to destruction, and narrow is the way to life, and few there be that find it. It is for the masses, for the majority, it is going to be a rejection of all that Christ has done for them, all that God has done for them, and we'll look this tonight. But I tell you this, I want you to know this, I would not be discouraged, but that is a reality. That is a truth when we look at the masses overall. So we want to understand what God has done and how man typically responds so that we're not discouraged. God doesn't sugarcoat anything. God lays it all out for us because we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to keep on keeping on because God told us to. And for those of us that have been in it long enough, we know there's fruit in them there hills. And we just keep on keeping on. And so, but I tell you this, I do have just one slight bent. And it, I hope it's not seeped in arrogance. I hope it's seeped in just a belief that in our day and age, there are so few, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not where I need to be. This message is for me. You pray for me that I'll be more more faithful, more zealous, more obedient, more honorable to the Lord in my outreach to the lost, and that I'll truly be broken over the lost, and I will serve them. I will humble myself before them. I'll humble myself before the Lord. I'm not. But here's what I do believe, and I want to encourage you with this. There are so few people, let me just say people, that share the gospel of Jesus Christ today. You and I had better not be puffed up if you happen to share the gospel. You ought to consider yourself privileged. You ought to consider yourself honored. You ought to consider yourself just blessed. I think it's okay, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, that we labor more abundantly than anyone else. But when God gives us fruit, it's the grace of God, not our labor. But for the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul said. But here's what I do believe, and I've seen it. I treated people like this when I would sit by them in an airplane. I thought, whoa, the favor of God is upon you. You sat by me. I view this when people get in my car for Lyft, because I am very selective. I only pick men, and sometimes I don't know if it's a man or woman, so I just cancel. And so when they get in my car, I think, the favor of God is upon you. I've asked every single person that has gotten in my car, has anybody ever shared this message I've just told you? Has anybody ever shared this with you before? Not a one said yes. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in luck. Except when it comes to ping pong, Anthony. And so I just don't. When somebody gets in my car, you see, I know what the masses are going to do. The Bible tells me so. But I'm not going to be discouraged. I've seen the power of the gospel. And you and I have the power of the gospel in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lips, and we declare it. I believe that when we are able to declare the gospel, there is something special going on. That doesn't mean every single person that we share that with is going to be saved, but I'll tell you, it's happening so little. God loves souls so much. I'm looking for Him to use us. The older I get, the less surprised I get. You know, I just ought to believe this book. When someone gets saved, I ought to expect the Holy Spirit to change their lives, right? Sometimes I'm like, whoa! No. If you get saved, He's going to change your life. So as we go through this passage tonight, I do not want you to view this passage as discouraging. I want you to view this passage as God just giving an honest portrayal of reality. One more piece of background. He's speaking to this contingent of the Jews within Rome. And remember, one of the issues that we're dealing with in Romans 9, 10, and 11 is the Jews are a little bit unraveled. They're a little bit upset because God is turning from the Jews and turning to people way worse than them. He's turning to the Gentiles. And they are up in arms about this, and they're upset about this. How can you do that to us, God? And He says, I have been reaching out to you all the day long. And God says, I turned to a people that were never looking for me. Aren't you glad about that? Because truth be known, not one of you in this room was looking for God if the Bible's true. The Bible says, none seeketh after God. Aren't you glad He sought after you? Amen. I sure am. And so, you know, there's an element of truth that I may not cover, but I'll just give it to you early on tonight. It is, God has this simple truth. He says, use what I've given you, or I'll take it and give it to somebody else. I don't tell you that to scare you or to make you fearful that you better obey. No, it's the truth. Let's not let the gospel slip from our families. I'm not done trying to implant the gospel into the Hall family, so that when I'm gone, the Halls might be a Christian family for the next 100 generations. And so I want you to understand that He's telling Israel that. He said, I've taken it from you because you've rejected what I've done for you. And just remember, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. A couple things I want you to see tonight is just God's intervention. I just want you to see. Let's read these verses one more time, 16 through 21. I've talked too long, you've forgotten about them. Let's read them real quick. It's only five verses. I guess it's six. And so, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? let me just stop, and I want you to look at this when I read. I'll try to instruct you how to read tonight. I want you to, because the way I'm splitting this message up, I'm seeing what God's done and how man's responded. I want you to look at verse 16 through 21, and I want you to notice that as I'm reading through this. What has God done, and then how has man responded to the goodness of God? And so let's read these verses. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. First thing I want you to see, God's intervention, he provides his word. Now, you won't see that directly in that statement, but how do I know that God provided his word? Here's what he says. It's that question in verse 18. He says, but I say, have they not heard? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes to a disobedient and a gainsaying people that had rejected the gospel. Had they heard? Yes, they had. And in the response of that question, have they not heard, is right after verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Had God provided Israel, had they had the word of God, had they heard? And the answer is yes, they had, but they've rejected it. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to be confident of this. I want you to see all that God does for Israel, and the direct interpretation of this is for Israel, but I think the application, we could spend the next two or three messages showing that God does the same thing for Gentiles as well. But I want you to understand this. God is doing a work, and he's provided his word, and you and I are the instruments of getting his word out. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know it's a broken record with me, but the most important thing you can do is get the word of God in people. My experience in life is the best way to do that is have a Bible study. I've witnessed verbally without a Bible. By God's grace, I have a lot of scripture memorized. I've told you before that sometimes when I'm using scripture, people go, I'm tired of that Bible. I don't want to hear any more Bible. And then that convicts me because I'm not trying to cram it down their throat. And you got to be careful that when you're witnessing, you're not just trying to show off. You know what I mean? You ever been in that situation where I'm like, what am I doing? I need to love this soul. I'm not here to show them everything I know. I need to care for them and understand their situation as much as I can. But it's I will tell you, my experience is maybe I'll get in heaven and the Lord will say, oh, all those verbal testimonies that you had, and this very well could happen because this is how great God is. But I'll tell you my personal experience that I've seen people be saved and I've seen fruit coming from it and I've seen lasting change in their life is when people will have a Bible study with me. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I will tell you this, if I could infect you in one way, it's this. I would love your middle name to be, would you like to have a Bible study? You see people, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? Hey, would you like to have a Bible study? And for those of you that never have had a Bible study, you'll have a heart attack the first time somebody says yes, but you can do it. Hey, would you like to have a Bible study? Hey, would you like to have a Bible study? And what I'll tell you is those of you that are working for income-driven activity, you could probably only have 1 to 4 people that you're dealing with. Maybe 1 or 2 Bible studies a week. That's about all you can handle. You've got your family that needs to be a priority. You need to carve out time for them. You should not neglect your family for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never demands that. You need to love your wife and take care of your wife. I'm taking my wife out to Prima Vista Tuesday night. Thanks to you, you gave us a gift certificate probably 10 years ago, and finally I'm going to use it. I think it was just this Christmas. I'm convicted about that. I just found out that when we take lost people out to dinner, that's not a date. You laugh. I enjoy being with my wife. I think it's a date. Okay, maybe you don't. I do. But I found out she didn't. And although she loves going on those dinners as well, but so Tuesday night, I'm gonna love on my wife. You see, I need to spend some time with her. I need to take care of her, and I need to romance her still. She's important to me. I'm not suggesting you do all that. So there is balance in all this, right? But I want to tell you this. What you need to do is you need to be pursuing souls, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Would you just listen to your pastor? Just listen to me. I'm telling you this. Bible studies are amazing. I've seen people. Don, I'll mention your son-in-law. Andy. Andy's just a big old boy. You've seen him here. Andy's 6'7" or something like that, right, Don? Something like that, right? He's a big boy. He loves hunting. He loves Notre Dame. And so, you know, we have nothing in common. And so Andy, Don had asked me, this is now years ago, he asked me to have a FaceTime, Skype, I don't remember what it was back in the day, Bible study with his son-in-law and his daughter. And I don't know if Andy would be okay if I did this. And Andy at the first would just sit there. You know, Andy talks way more than I ever thought he would ever talk, but the Lord saved him. But I'll just say this, over time, you just watch the Word of God. I'll just tell you this, the next time Andy's here, you just ought to tell me how much you love Jesus. This guy's a crazy guy for Jesus now. He's still humongous, right? He's still like, whoa, Andy, don't shoot me, I'm not a deer. And so it's like he's such a man, and he loves the Lord Jesus Christ now. We don't stay in touch as often, maybe once a month now, but it is, when he calls, he'll still weep over the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what melted his heart? Not Steve Hall. I was intimidated. You know, it was sort of like it was a monologue. Most of my Bible studies aren't a monologue. What I mean by that, one way. I love interaction. That'll spur me on. It'll take us down different paths. There was no interaction. Hey, what do you think? Well, then let's continue down here. You know, it's like, okay. So I was getting really uncomfortable. You know, just sweat. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. If I can influence you, I want you to begin to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to use your word for your honor and your glory. And I know this. The only way somebody's going to be saved is I must exalt Christ and I must teach your word. Remember this in the Great Commission? There's two teaches. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's to the lost. Something happens after the comma. They get saved. We're not commanded to save anybody. After they get saved, then we bring them into the church. We baptize them. And then we teach them all things whatsoever he's commanded. And lo, he's with us always, even unto the end of the world. Two teaches. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I want you to know this. God provided his word to Israel. And you know what? I don't worry about any other century. I'm in the 21st century. He's provided his word to us. Let's go take it to the lost. Let's go take it to the masses. And so be encouraged. Second thing I want you to see that God's intervention, he goes looking for the lost. Look at this in verse 20. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest in them that ask not after me. Now this just riled up the Jews, fired them up. These nasty Gentiles, how could God go seeking after them? But God loves sinners. He goes looking for the lost. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be like God the Father. We need to go looking for the lost. I'm telling you this. Nobody that I speak to, I'll be like, did you pray last night and ask for God to send you somebody to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? That happened once to Deb, but okay, that's a rarity. That's my wife. You know, somebody did. This young lady that's since been saved, she said, I prayed last night for God to send somebody to me. That's my wife. You should hang around her for me. You know, I mean, here's what happens to me. I was talking in a Bible study with some lost people, and I was about to say, you know what most people are afraid of? I was about to say, they're afraid of looking spiritually stupid. So when I said, you know what most people are afraid of? They go, meeting somebody like you. And I was like, well, no, that's not really what I was thinking, you know? So it was, but it's going to go better. It's going to go better, right? But it's this. The Lord goes looking for those that aren't seeking him. We ought to go looking for people that aren't seeking him. Because none of us were seeking him. We love him because he first loved us. There's not one of us that is worthy of the grace of God. And he shed it upon us, and I'll tell you this, I'm not surprised. You know, when people go, I'm not interested, and I go, I didn't think you'd be. Just run with it. And I turn a conversation by God's grace that they were interested, and I'm still going to have a conversation with them. I'm like, tell me something I don't know. But I still have something really amazing to tell you. You know, I mean, be encouraged that the Lord has dealt with the same thing that we'll deal with. And you know what? He hung in there. I wish I had time tonight. I'm not going to do it. But if you just look through the Gospels, you should do a search on the word again. And look how often Jesus went back. Again, and again, and again, and again. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to encourage you. We want to be like the Lord. Just as he came seeking for you. we ought to go seeking for the lost as well. Third thing I want you to see is he actually provokes people to jealousy. Now, this will be a great application. Let's just see this. This is the Lord, how much he loves Israel. So God is not abandoning Israel. We'll see that continued in chapter 11. Now, Israel is feeling like he's abandoning them by going to the Gentiles because it's all or nothing for the Jews. We can have nothing to do with those Gentiles. And the Lord's saying, well, then you can have no part of me. And so the Jews were just upset, and God's like, it's exactly what I was trying to do. You see, God's so amazing. Look at, if you will, look at verse 19. He says this, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. We'll see that later in chapter 11. But the Lord uses the Jews being upset that God's going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and he does it not only for the benefit of the Gentiles, but to provoke the Jews to jealousy, to stir their hearts unto salvation as well. Isn't God amazing? So I want to tell you, don't be disappointed in some of your situations. Some of you get saved, and you get discouraged. You get discouraged because your family rejects you. Your family says, I want nothing to do with you. Your family thinks you're part of a cult. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, if I've been called a cult leader once, I can't count the number of times I've been called a cult leader, right? And so it's like when God radically changes your life, people are going to think something's wrong with you, and so you must be, my name is Jim Jones. Just drink the Kool-Aid, you know? It's like, let's follow the Word of God. So here's what I want you to know. This is amazing. Just listen to me, because I know this. When people in your family reject you, that's overly discouraging, isn't it? How many of you say yes? I just tell you, this is how good God is. I'm not telling you this is what he's doing, but I'm telling you this is how he works. Don't be discouraged. Be faithful. Be obedient. God may take the jealousy. God may take the manifestation of jealousy, the hatred, the acting out, the striking out. And if you can just honor God through it, God's plan may be that he's going to use the jealousy against you to bring them to a saving knowledge of his Son. That's our God. We don't think of that very often. Here's what we do, and me too. It's like we get mad and say, well, you don't like me. Well, newsflash, whoever you don't like, Jesus doesn't like you, and I don't like you. That was fleshy, I know. I've never said that. Randall helped me with some of his issues. And no, I struggle with that, right? I mean, this is my problem. I always say, well, you don't like me? Well, newsflash, I don't like you either. But if we just understood God and say this, I believe God loves my sister. I believe God loves my brother. What in the world's he doing? This is really new for me. I don't understand what in the world you're doing. He just stepped back and walked. I don't know what God's doing, but I tell you, don't be too upset when people react, not necessarily physically violently, but people get so upset at times. If your life changes, how are you messing all this up? Jesus said, I've come to bring a sword because there's going to be a division in families. Try not to get overly discouraged. It's really hard, but I just want you to see these passages that God is using Israel's jealousy that he's going to the Gentiles to stir their heart, ultimately to bring salvation to them. Maybe he's doing that in your family. And so hang in there. I want you to see just the fourth, and it's obvious. But look at verse 21. God, his intervention with Israel, he says, but to Israel he saith, verse 21, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long. Over and over and over again. You know this verse. Listen to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 30, 37. You don't have to turn there. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This Matthew 23, 37 and Romans 10, 21 just kind of overlay the heart of God. Jesus standing outside. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Very similar to Romans chapter 10, verse 21. I want you to be encouraged. I'm not a doomsdayer with America. I have moments of hope for America. You know why? If 12 minus Judas, 11 apostles, could turn the world upside down. If just this group tonight, if you got excited about the gospel and you just said, you know, I'm going to do one thing and I'm going to do it faithful. And if God decides to give me no fruit, I'm going to trust that my labor is not in vain. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. I talk about it a lot. Elizabeth, you need to have some babies. Randall, you need to have some babies. Madison, you need to have some babies. You need to be sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with your friends. Right? Brooke, babies. Stephen, lots of them. But you know what? We have to be faithful, whether we see that fruit here in our lifetime or not. I just know this, our labor's not in vain. I've said this before. I said it today to a family, and I just, our goal as Christians is to be like Jesus, is it not? I'm open for this. I'm not saying I have the market cornered on this. Jesus focused on three things, did he not? Preaching the gospel, the training of 12 men, and prayer. Prayer. He prayed. Then he had to do, you know, sleep, eat, and he hardly did much sleeping. Sharing the gospel, training men, and prayer. So we ought to examine our lives. How often am I reaching out all the day long? We want to be like God? We want to be like Jesus? Then what we would do is how many of you got real nervous when we started door knocking again? How many of that? That's you guys are experienced. You got nervous that first time. At least the pastor didn't call you out on it, right? You coming back? Okay, that's good. I thought I might have destroyed you. You coming back? I know that. I know you're tough. But it is. You know what? I used to get nervous as well. I think getting nervous is good, and because it's a serious thing. You understand? We're standing between life and death with these people. If you all ultimately understood, if we really got a glimpse of eternal damnation, I think we might reach out all the day long. When we have free time, we wouldn't surf the internet. When we had, you know, just some time, love your family. I'm not talking about neglecting your family, right? I'm just telling you this. It is all the day long. Aren't you glad God's more faithful than you and I? I will tell you, I love some of your stories. I love some of your stories that all the day long. I'll just share Carl's real quick. Carl, when I was sharing the gospel with him, Carl stopped me in the middle of sharing the gospel and he says, "You don't understand. I've known this all my life." And he didn't say this. "And God has been reaching out to me all the day long." And he goes, "I've rejected it for 50 years. And he said, it's too late for me. I'm not worthy." God was still reaching out to you all the day long. Isn't it good? Aren't you glad God's faithful? Aren't you glad of the just steadfast pursuit of God? I want you to be encouraged by that. And if we want to be like the Lord, let's intervene in people's life all the day long. You know, one of the greatest regrets I have for over 30 years of ministry is that I gave up on people. Here's what I assumed. I taught young adults, and we had, you know, 50, 60, 70 people, and on regular attendance, and then we would have more that I was responsible for, and when they would stop coming, I just figured they didn't want to be there. That's usually not the case. Kevin will tell you, if you just ask him, I let go of him too soon. We were pursuing Kevin. We were pursuing Sarah. And I thought I might be pesty or overwhelming. And, you know, I loved it. Kevin, he tells me regularly, he says, "You let me down." And I said, okay, my friend, I love you. But you know what? That's a great message for me. God keeps reaching out all the day long, and he told Israel, Israel, I love you. Israel, I'm going to take the gospel to people. Israel, you've rejected me all the day long. I want to show you people's response. This is the sad note of this, right? Man's response. I want you to look at this. I love this terminology. Look at this in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's from Isaiah 53. He says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, I read a couple commentaries, and they weren't suggesting this, but some people get confused. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is and what he's done. That's salvation. And so is this suggesting anything different? No. Obedience to the gospel, obeying the gospel, is repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible uses that term. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The issue, I tell people this, we can have a study on this. Why do people go to hell? Why are people damned? Unbelief. Their judgment is based on their sin and their works. Now you could say, they have a need to believe because of their sin. I get that. But the Bible's clear, it's their unbelief. Their judgment is based on their sins, and that is God's perfectly just. He reviews everything, and I say this like, that's the temperature thermometer in the lake of fire. It's the perfect punishment. Not too hot, not too cold. Just. Justice. You see, understand this is the question for you is, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you just submitted to the Lord and said, I can't do it on my own? In fact, I can't do anything. You know, just as simple as this. It's the heart. It's not words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was a man that said, I need you and your son. Broken heart. They obey not the gospel. This is interesting. Look at this. Look at verse 18. It says, but I say, have they not heard? And the answer is yes. So they don't obey the gospel, but here's what man's response is as well. They do hear. They do hear. And so I want you just to pause. They do hear. People that reject, it says, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. Now, you remember the verse, I think, that goes in conjunction with this. Now, just listen to this. Let's look at verse 18 again. It says, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Then listen to Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be moved not away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I don't agree with this. I've read many a commentary, and they say that God is speaking in hyperbole, exaggeration, just to make a point. Because the gospel never went to every creature. The gospel never went to the ends of the earth. The gospel never accomplished what it says in verse 18. That's just not possible. Who said? I do not believe that's hyperbole. I believe in Colossians 1:23 that the gospel at that point in time had been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Do you understand this? There are times where God will obviously use hyperbole, exaggeration. It's obvious. God could have said something that would have been clear. And the gospel was preached to most of the world. But he said to every creature in Colossians 1:23. And he says that here. I'm encouraged by that. Because frankly, you know what it looks like? We are given the Great Commission that we take the gospel to every creature. How many of you would say, that looks pretty easy, raise your hand. How many of you would be honest, and I know, how many of you would say, you know what, frankly, that looks impossible. It does. I'm overwhelmed. It was only about a year and a half ago that, I know you're saying, I can't believe you. I really wasn't taking responsibility for the world the way I'm going to by God's grace. Hope Baptist Church is responsible for the world. That's just not figurative. That's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. There was only one church that was given the Great Commission, and that was the church at Jerusalem. And praise the Lord, it looks like by Colossians 1:23, that one church, by God's grace, had gotten the work done. And they'd gotten the gospel to every creature. I will tell you this. I love this. Stephen Schultz challenged me many months ago. I've never forgotten it. I go, what should we pray for? Remember what you said? The impossible. I go, that's exactly what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking that at all. I was like, well, Lord, we need a parking lot. And so, you know, I love this. I went from a parking lot to the impossible. We serve the God of the impossible. Salvation with men is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Are you praying for the impossible? Do you think that's just hyperbole? Do you think that's just exaggeration? I know this. I struggle with this. I agree with you. I would raise my hand as well. It seems like there is no way. Your pastor is a flunky boy. So sorry. Nobody knows me. I'm not important. I die tomorrow. And the kingdom of God would just continue on. My Lord loves me. My Lord knows me. My Lord cares for me. But I'm nothing in the grand scheme of things. But I can do the impossible with God. I'm not going to try to figure it out, but you know this? I'm going to try to figure out, what was it that Jesus did that enabled those 11 to do the impossible and reach the world and get the gospel to every creature by Colossians 1:23? And it seems to be reiterated right here in Romans 10, verse 18. You should be encouraged with that. I should be encouraged with that. And we should strive to do the impossible. So they heard. The second thing I want you to see, they knew. Look at this in verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? And the answer is yes. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. So they did not obey the gospel. This is man's typical response. They can hear. They can know. And how do they respond? They respond with anger. He says this, look at the end of verse 19. He said, first Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Don't be upset. Don't think, well, that's a failed visit. When someone gets angry, now here's what you need to do. Was I a jerk? Was I in the flesh and made them angry? If so, then you should apologize to them. You should apologize to the Lord and try not to let that happen again. But there are times that you can share in love, in kindness, but with clarity, the gospel, and people are going to get angry. Don't have a conniption fit. Don't quit. The devil wants you to have the worst experiences possible. God's in control. The devil wants you to have the worst experiences possible so that you'll never do that again. He's okay with you coming to church. I don't know. He probably doesn't like you giving because maybe that'll actually send another missionary to the field. But he's not that. He's okay. Matter of fact, if you have to decide between giving and sharing the gospel, you go ahead and give. It's okay because it makes you feel better. All the devil wants you to do is shut that mouth where you never tell anybody ever again. If he needs to send an angry person your way, he'll send them your way. And if one angry person doesn't do it, how about two in a row? How about three in a row? How about 3 months in a row? I just want to tell you this. Don't be surprised. You know, and then try to just learn. You know, folks, if we just understand this, got to be careful that we're not just playing games. But when people get mad, why don't you practice? Why don't I practice how to back down their anger so that you might be able to have a witness and testimony? Stephen Schultz, you know, he's the only guy I know that door knocks and people apologize to him. He had a druid. Remember the druid? You remember that way? Well, that was you. It was you. Weren't you? They apologized to you, right? Oh, they apologized to you for Randall. I've messed that story up, right? So there you go. Randall, he goes, you know what a druid is? No. Guy began to just drop cuss words right after another, just ripping Randall down one side or the other. Randall politely left. People do that. That's not the norm. That gets your heart going. You're discouraged. You're like, man, I feel terrible. Later, he saw Stephen and another guy with him. He goes, hey, you with that group? You apologize to that guy. Whatever he said, he apologized. That was a testimony. You know, they saw something different about you. You didn't come to slice them up. You came because you cared for their soul. Don't be upset if they're angry. God tells us they're going to respond with anger. God tells us Israel responds with anger. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of that. It's not the norm. It's not the norm. I praise the Lord for that, but I'm not surprised that they respond in anger. What I'd really have to do is say, did I cause that? Did I dishonor God? If not, I'm not surprised. And so now what I do is, how do I cut through that anger and still try to deliver a witness? Another thing, two more things I just want you to see. Look at the end of verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. They're going to be disobedient. We, in America, I don't think any of you, if I see something, so I want to tell you this. I did this morning without thinking, right when I was saying being late. And so I felt bad. That wasn't to you, Jesse. It wasn't. Just wanted to highlight to everybody. Jesse was late today. But I wouldn't have done that. I wasn't doing that. That wasn't for you. I was using a generic example. So I love you, and I know it's not the norm. So I wasn't trying to do that. So I don't do things. So I don't see you doing this on Facebook. What I see on Facebook a lot from Christians is they're complaining about lost people being lost people. You know, I do not expect the Super Bowl halftime show to be godly and something that I should watch. I'm not going to be like, oh, I cannot believe that was so... Why are you watching the Super Bowl halftime show? I expect to see more clothes on a baby wearing a bikini than I would on the halftime show. So I'm just telling you, don't be shocked when the world acts like the world. Now, what is happening with America is we're going down this steep decline where good is evil and evil is good. And don't be discouraged with that. Nothing's changed. The only thing that's going to save people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This should never come across the lips of a Christian, but I know it comes across our lips all the time. Well, that's a difficult person to deal with. That's a tough person for salvation. Maybe for you. Is anybody a tough case for God? Just be encouraged with that. Just be challenged with that. They're going to be disobedient. The world thinks what Christianity is about is everything you can't do. What they don't realize is your disobedience is killing you. And there's freedom in Christ. You're free to not sin. That's the beauty of Christianity. The world's going to be disobedient. Let's not follow the world. And then finally, they oppose themselves. It's that word, gainsaying people. They are gainsaying. They speak against or they oppose themselves. I'll tell you, it is, if you understand this, they are against themselves. They're disobedient and gainsaying people. That's the world that we deal with today. What they need is the truth of God's word. I will tell you, I love hearing about your stories with reaching people. You don't have to be me. I'll give you one story. Anthony, and you know our visitor today was Anthony, so when I was pointing out Anthony, that guy probably had a heart attack. Right? That's just, you know, hey, Anthony! You know, like, you know, and so I was talking to him, right? I got to be careful of that. Never call out somebody's name that just filled out a visitor card. And, so I love Anthony, and Anthony's a new believer, and I ask him this. I said, do you think this is going to be the worst that you'll ever do a Bible study? And he said, yes. I said, I agree. I said, here's the good news. It's only going to get better from here. Every one of us should have our worst Bible study, right? Get it over with. I said, I want you to have that Bible study with me. I want you to tell me what you did. He had about the same length as I would, 10 minutes. It was a joke. and so he walked through, and he's just walked through the Mark New Testament with three verses. And I said, well, what did they say? He said, not much. But you know what? He said eternal truth. You know, just to be clear, I know I'm saying this publicly, it wasn't impressive. But it has nothing to do with that. Do you know that? It's not your charm. It's not your charisma. It's not your smoothness. It's not your delivery. It's the power of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your suave delivery. No. God was pleased with you, Anthony. You know what you did? You tried. You weren't worried that you would fail. Because the only way we'll succeed is in Christ. If a 14-year-old young man that knows less than nearly everybody in this congregation, and you're learning quickly, so just be clear, I'm not trying to beat you up too bad, knows less than most people in this congregation, if he can take Bibles to school and five people around lunch, and he had it all divided out. He said, well, I can't remember how long his lunch had. We had 40 minutes. So I thought I'd give him 15 minutes to eat, 10 minutes for devotions. And then, you know, I forget how he divided it up all the time. I thought, this guy has a plan. And he's going to go at him again. You know what I love? You keep it up. I wish I knew what you knew now. I hope you plan on having Bible studies for the rest of your life. I hope you can look back when you were 14 and go, yeah, that was my worst. But I want to tell you this. You know what I think when you get in heaven? That just may be the one that God mentions. That may be the best. You know why? It has nothing to do with you. One day, you're going to get really good at it. And if you think it has anything to do with you, God just might not be with you. You know what God wants you to do? Submit to Him. When we think we're hot to trot, we forget God, don't we? You keep sharing. Let God do the work. Remember the Great Commission? Can you save anybody, Anthony? You cannot. But you can share the Word of God. He's the one that saves. And then we keep on teaching, right? I want you to know this. Man will always oppose. It's a rare instance where somebody, the ground is fertile, the seeds have been planted, a bunch of people have been watering. We've seen that at times. That's a gift of God. You know what God expects us to go? Plow the hard ground and go back again and again. Whether they get angry, whether they're in deep sin, whatever the situation, oh, can we be like God all the day long? Have I reached out my hand? He did that for Israel. You're going to see in chapter 11, Israel felt rejected, but this was God's way of not only reaching the Gentiles, but reaching the Jews. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be encouraged by your own example. You give us your heart here. You give us your heart toward a people that spiritually kicked you in the teeth. But we are those people that kick you spiritually in the teeth. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your tenacity. Father, may we not put hope in our tenacity, but may we be tenacious. May we not put hope in our delivery, but may we deliver. Father, I pray we'll just be an obedient people with faith that you are a mighty God and your mighty gospel can save. Father, give us a love for souls. Give us a heart that is like your Son, and give us the follow through, the intervention that you show in your own example. Father, may you be glorified. I pray we'll be a people that just one soul this week, that we might be blessed to reach out to and tell them about your great love, about what Jesus has done on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to